You're listening to WFMU, WXHD, Mad Hope, worldwide on the web. You're listening to WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mad Hope, worldwide on the web at WFMU.org. Please stay tuned now for the best show on WFMU, which is hosted by Tom Sharpling. Should be coming up shortly. After this musical interlude.
Best radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Mark.
Well, I am Buddy Swales, governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, governor of party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard calling from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kern?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yes,
they have ring bologna at the Wawa I go to.
What? I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devil.
My name is Ollie Farinacci.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash your trash.
Eric, I'm calling from Newcomb.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man. Right.
Tent don't stand without the tent pole. This is a tent pole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What?
This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, it's Captain Jack.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fofer.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name's Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Lou. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.
Best show, the show that you have. Best show, the show.
right. It is the best show on WFMU here each and every Tuesday night, taking you all the way from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. We're going to keep rocking it here all the way straight through 3 hours of mirth, music, and mayhem, as they say. The phone number, 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368, the only phone number that this program ever gives out as the call-in number, and the only show on WFMU that you should be hearing this number given out. Again, if you hear it being given out during another program, that program is using the number in bad faith. And I will ask you respectfully to call when you hear the number given out by another call-in program, if the Dr. Stupid Show or whatever that thing is on before it, the 60 Seconds of Hijinks or something. I don't know. Those shows, if you hear them giving out the number, call them and tell them it's not theirs to use. I pay $510 for every phone call that comes in on this line. And if I'm going to foot that kind of bill... Now, I got a couple emails. People want to know why it's so expensive. Because it's a high optic cable that I had installed going directly, not through the phone line. It's going through the floor of the building. Right up into the mixing board here, the Old Faithful Audio Arts Engineering R60. Oh. And if I hit it as if it's my old friend, it will stop working. You want to see? Watch. The Audio Arts Engineering R60, my old friend, huh? See? There we go. Oh, we just heard, first of all, we heard some hot theme music. Couple winners from the theme contest, which ended a couple weeks ago. I'm so happy with the final results. We got the Theme Weavers. Theme Weavers LLC, I should say, to be... fair in my... Because I guess they are a limited liability corporation. They're not just a band. We're hearing their theme in the background right now. Before that, we heard, what were they called? It's John Junk's band. It's him and a couple guys from Ponce de Leon with their best show theme. And starting us off, Chris L. with the People's theme. Getting the rhythm going. And some of the music we heard in that last set, we heard the Rye Coalition from their hot new album, Curses, on the Gern Blanston label. A song called Burn the Masters, which I find to be a hilarious song. Why? Because it makes fun of the blackout, the New York City blackout that took place a couple years ago. Shock the Claw is the name of the band. That's right. Shock the Claw. Just told on the Friends of Tom chat, which you can always check out by going over to friendsoftom.com and then you click on chat. So anyway, this song, Burn the Masters, makes fun of the New York City blackout that took place a couple years ago, where every person in New York was so brave, so courageous.
Hey, man, we were eating ice cream. The bodega on the corner, everything was melting. That guy was passing out free ice cream. You should have seen it. Oh, man, I had to walk across the bridge. You should have seen it. Oh, man, it was amazing. You should have... You know what? I get it.
Look, New York's an awesome city. But as I've said before, a New Yorker will not hesitate to tell you how great New Yorkers are. That is their fatal flaw. Someone who... when he recorded this album, had no fatal flaw. Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello and the Attractions from the Armed Forces. Two CD set on Rhino, the original album
as well as the bonus disc, we heard an alternate version of Big Boys from Elvis Costello. Before that, Rita Lee from a collection called, now I don't know Spanish, I'm going to try this. Hoye primero dia do resto da sua vida. Hoye e o primero dia do resto da sua vida. Now, just so you know, Rita Lee was a member of Os Mutantes back in, I think they were from Brazil. If I remember, I'm so bad at that stuff. But anyway, this is a reissue of that her second solo album. And the song we heard is called Freaky Comigo. And before that, some good American music, right? America! Finally, we heard some upstanding Americans. Danielson. Oh, wait, maybe that's not exactly the case. They're not so upstanding. Well, they're upstanding, but they're not typical Americans by any stretch. From their hot new album, Ships, we heard, Did I Step on Your Trumpet? And I watched the Danielson documentary called A Family Band. Really great documentary. Showing how Daniel Smith, who I give a ton of credit to for doing what he does for as long as he's been doing it. It's showing him doing his thing down there in Jersey. See that? You don't see him bragging about cutting the lawn. Like people talk about the blackout, the time his lawnmower didn't start. He wasn't making some epic about it. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Evan calling from Providence, Rhode Island. How are you?
Evan in Providence, Rhode Island. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Excellent.
How is Providence, Rhode Island tonight?
Oh, we're doing okay. The sun came out finally after like a week and a half today. Right at the end of the day. We were very happy.
That's nice. Are you getting any of that flooding that's going on?
Not so much here. No, a little bit up north. There's some flooding going on, so we're thankful that we missed out on that, but we're, you know, equally thankful that maybe we'll get some sun tomorrow too and it'll be great.
That would be great for you.
Absolutely.
Is that it? Anything else?
I'm calling, actually. I think I was the third person to sign up for the podcast.
Okay, the third of 17.
Are we up to 17 now?
Yes, we are up to 17.
That's great. I've been giving it a hard sell. I've been calling people, telling them about the podcast, too. So I hope the numbers keep ratcheting up.
Thank you. We're trying.
Yeah. I think if I tell 2 to 20 friends and they tell 2 to 20 friends and we just keep going in that way.
Oh. I like that. I like that. You're going to tell your friends.
I have been. I've been telling. I got my sister to sign up and other people, so.
So you got your what did your sister think of it? Did she listen?
You know what? I haven't checked back with them, although my friend in LA has signed up for it, and I know that for a fact that he enjoyed it, so.
Oh, good. That's nice. That's nice to hear. Nice to hear that he enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually the first time. Usually I work evenings. I work in the restaurant industry as one of my sort of many part-time jobs. So normally I can't call in on a Tuesday night. That's why I'm a big fan of the podcast, because I can listen in later.
Yes, yes. And that is why you need to keep the podcast going, because it is in serious jeopardy of going away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It is. Because we don't have enough subscribers.
Yikes.
That's, you're doing the right thing, though. You're doing the right thing. You're keeping people abreast of the situation. What do you think your sister's going to think of it? What is your sister's sense of humor like, and her interests?
We are one and the same. I have twin sisters actually, 3 years younger than I am, and I think that they're going to dig it. I'm pretty
All right.
sure.
Good.
Yeah, I'm confident. And I have friends, but they have lots of other friends too. So I'm hoping.
Did you say you're competent or confident?
Well, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Did you say you were competent?
Or no, confident.
Confident.
I think,
okay.
Yeah, I hope I said confident.
I don't know. Could have been a little mush mouth on the radio. So you work in the food industry. What, are you waiting tables?
No, I am a bartender. Actually, I work for a catering company. Right now, I work for a furniture company, and then I am also a cartoonist on the side.
What kind of, have I seen your cartooning? Have you sent me things? No.
I sent you an email with my website, which is terribly out of date. Coming out in October, I'll be published in a company called Ad House Books.
Okay.
It's putting out a comics compilation called Project Romantic.
That sounds fun.
It's a story. It's a compilation of stories about romance, and you can see my work there. And my friend Maris Wicks also is on the cover, and we'll have some work in there as well.
Well, let me know when it's out.
I will, absolutely.
Okay.
Excellent.
And we will plug it.
Oh.
Okay.
We like that.
I'm sure you would, because you want to get out of the food industry and into the cartooning industry.
Exactly.
Full time, right? Is that your fantasy, to be a cartoonist?
I'd like to be putting some more stuff out. I have in the past, and I don't mind the bartending. Bartending's fun, but absolutely, I'd like to, you know. Just if that would be a dream, really, to be just a cartoonist.
What should people do to get the respect of a bartender?
To get the respect of the bartender?
You
at the end of the day, it's to leave the tip. I have to,
well,
I
you
hate
tip,
to say it.
You tip early, though. You tip right off the bat. You don't be one of these cheapskates who I'll get you next time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Early.
I mean, there's tons of stories. But you know what?
Go ahead.
Be entertaining.
Okay.
And not expect to be entertained necessarily. That makes our job that much easier.
But don't you just want to be left alone ultimately? Like, don't you want some guy to go, hey, yeah, I'll get two of the Michelob Lights, and then you open them, and you say, yeah, that's how much would that be at the place you work at? How much would that be?
Michelob? Well, we don't serve them, but it would probably be somewhere around $8.
How much?
$6, maybe.
So let's do some play acting here.
All righty.
I'm a customer in the bar.
All right.
Hey, you're supposed to talk to me first. I'm standing.
Hey, what can I get you this evening?
I'd like to, do you have Michelob Genuine Golden Draft?
Michelob Genuine Golden Draft, of course, on tap.
What
like
else
a
do you,
pint or a bottle?
What do you have on tap tonight, barkeep?
Tonight we have Heineken. We have Newcastle Guinness.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Sam Adams.
I'm gonna get a Newcastle and a Sam Adams, please.
Okay, two pints coming right up.
Make the sound.
There you are.
How much will that be?
That'll be, let's see here. $8.25.
Now, what? Here's $10. Keep the change.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, is that a what do you expect to drink?
Well, what? Wait, what?
Tip wise, what are you looking for per drink? Are you looking for $1 a drink, $2 a drink?
A dollar a drink, I would say, in a lot of places is probably, well, maybe not in New York, I don't know, but it pretty generous, I would say.
So if it was $8.25 and I threw you $10, is that fair, or should I ask you for if you can break a dollar and get a quarter? Although I would give you 11.
You give me another dollar later.
I'll
at the
give
end
you
of
12.
Something like that to make up for whatever.
I'm not cheap. I'll give you 12. What if I threw down 11? But here you go, $11. Keep the change.
Oh, that's great. Then okay. you're a saint.
Now right we there. Fast forward. Now we fast forward to a half hour later. I come back up for more drinks. Yeah, I'll get two more of those, please.
Right, salmon and Newcastle coming right up.
Now I gave you, how much did I give you before, 11?
You gave me 11, yeah.
Now I give you 10.
Okay.
Right? Now I come back 20 minutes later. Yeah, two more.
Uh-huh.
When does it happen? When does it happen, Evan?
When does what happen?
Free drink!
Oh, free drink. Oh, gosh. Free drink is, no.
What?
Free drink is going to have to be, not, you're not going to give me an extra buck. You're going to have to give me like, what is it, like four, so the price, like $4 a drink, right?
Yeah.
You have to slip me like a five or something like that.
At the
beginning of the night.
So I should buy the drink in advance. All I'm doing is buying the drink in advance then.
No, but you're getting a round of two each time, which is $8.
Yeah, and I'm throwing you $2, $2.75.
fill a mug.
I'm not doing mixed drinks.
You're getting fired.
I'm not doing mixed drinks.
Fair enough.
Vodka and tonic. Stand there for a half hour shaking the thing. You're filling the thing. It's like you're doing a gear shift. And you pop it back up.
What am I putting strain on that one? We gotta make a living, you know what I mean? But yeah, for free drinks.
You don't own the bar. What do you care?
No, it's true. I don't. You know, but it depends. I mean, but at the same time, if we had been chatting the whole time and you're a nice guy, that's where it really makes the
difference. But I'm trying to stay out of your way. I'm not gonna bore you.
Well, all right, but I'm saying if you're sitting at the bar, and things, or if you're a regular, if you come in every week and you're tipping on at the basis that you're talking about, then it's a different story. But if I've never seen you before, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Oh, sounds like you're tight with the lever there. Tight with the lever.
I can't. I've been known to be. It depends, though. But for some people, on some occasions, I buy someone else a drink though too. If I know they're good people.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll buy them a drink. So you'll once in a while.
I will. I will literally put my own money in.
What's the biggest tip you ever got?
Oof. Biggest tip I ever got. It's meager, really. I'd say like a $20 bill. On nothing, on like a $4 tab.
Yeah. Okay.
So, which is great. I mean, anytime I should say that everybody should always tip their bartender, waiter.
Yeah, of course you'd say that.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, you know, because we get,
you know what I think also?
More often than not, we get shafted than we have a success story.
You know what I think people should also do?
What's that?
Tip their DJ.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wants their profession to get tipped. You know what I say? We're looking at the Friends of Tom chat right now. Clack is saying, fourth drink is free. Unwritten law. That's not how they roll up in Rhode Island, though.
Well, it's a little different.
You got the farmers coming in?
I work in a fine dining sort of place, so it's a little bit... It's kind of, I mean, these people can definitely afford any drink that they order, so.
Oh.
Yeah, well,
Snobs versus slobs. Sounds like a little bit of snobs versus slobs.
Maybe.
Somebody's got, Bobo Kick's got a tip for you.
Uh-oh.
Get a new job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on my way.
He's animating. He's drawing cartoons. What do you want? All right, Evan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
You have a good night.
You too. Bye. Yeah.
201-209-9368. The Open Phone Tuesday here on The Best Show. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight with tonight's program. We're going to play the movie building game, the Build a Movie game, which is the hottest game in all of the land. It's the game that people just can't get enough of. The movie building game. How does it work? You name three actors or actresses and a genre of movie. And based on the cast with which I am presented, I will build a movie around it. I will give you back a movie story. We'll do that later in the show. Also coming up, we got an exciting thing. High school. Rate your high school experience. 1 through 10. I'm going to just blast through them. Boom, boom, boom. Rated 1 through 10 and say what you would say. Give me a quick why. Why was high school awesome? Why was high school awful? We'll do those both later in the program. A lot of Open Phone Tuesday coming up. But this is a... It's a hard week for me in a lot of ways. Mother's Day just passed, and this past weekend, and my Mother's Day was ruined. I guess I should back up. I'll explain how Mother's Day went for me. I was... The beauty of Mother's Day is that you eat where Mommy wants on Mother's Day. Mommy says where you eat, and that's where you eat. Mommy wants to eat somewhere, you go eat where Mommy wants to eat. So we're eating at a restaurant. It's actually a pizza parlor. My mother is wanted to eat at a pizza parlor. So Mommy wanted to eat at a pizza parlor. We're eating at a pizza parlor. Not just a pizza parlor. They had other things. They had submarine sandwiches and calzones. But they're, I guess you'd call it a pizzeria. Is what these places are called a lot now. They're not just called pizza parlors anymore. So we were eating a pizza pie at the pizzeria, and someone at the table had a calzone, and then it started. The pizza parlor. All of a sudden, I saw people on the sidewalk kind of getting nervous, kind of shuffling. Moving out of the way. What were they moving out of the way of? You know what it was? It was the tall bikes. The tall bikes were in New Jersey. They came to New Jersey. They were looking for me. So I came out. I was like, "Guys, let's this is Mother's Day, guys. Let's not let's just try to have a truce here on Mother's Day." And then the one guy on the tall bike, I think it was the last guy who beat me up, the one who hit me when I woke up in front of North 6, unconscious. Well, I was conscious when I woke up. I was unconscious before I was taken to North 6. Then the one guy was like, "We're having this out now." And I was like, all right. And then I went and I said, let me just get set up here. So I had to stretch, obviously, because stretching is important. The last thing I want is to blow my back out trying to fight these goofballs. So I was doing my stretching. And there are three guys on tall bikes. And by the way, one of the guys on a tall bike had a thing. He had a thing. It said "bike culture not for sale." But under that, you know what it said under that? It said Bush Cheney. This guy on the tall bike voted for Bush. I thought these guys were radicals. These tall bike guys. I guess not. So anyway, I stretched. I was ready. Cracked my fingers. Squared off in the middle of the street. It was going to be one of those like they were going to come at me and I was going to fight them. So I picked up a 2x4, right? And then the first guy, I whacked him right in the throat, right on the Adam's apple. Wham! Off the tall bike. But then it happened. The second guy pulled out a gun. I'm not kidding. Like one of those sawed-off shotguns he had underneath his cheap leather jacket. And I was like, come on, guys. No gunplay. We can do this without gunplay. We're all grown-ups here. And then the one guy said, I'm not a grown-up. I said, come on, guys, my family's in there. And the guy said, I don't care. He cocked the gun, you know, with the sliding barrel. He told me to get down on the ground. And he told me to eat gravel. Like, literally, not just, that was not just a cool thing, like, eat gravel. He literally made me get on the ground and eat, like, the gravel that was alongside the curb. And I ate a couple handfuls of gravel. And I'm not afraid to say I started crying. And they started laughing. I thought that was it. And then the one tall bike guy pulled out a Molotov cocktail and threw it through the window of the pizzeria that my family was inside. And the other guy took the 2x4 that I had thrown at the third guy who was down on the ground and jammed it into the door so my family couldn't get out. Now the pizzeria is on fire at this point. And if I hear, help, I hear my family screaming, help me, Tom, help. The one guy on the tall bike literally said, kneel before Zod. He was calling himself Zod, like in Superman 2. So here I am, I'm hearing my family screaming as the pizzeria was burning. I was eating gravel. And the one guy was laughing, and I got up. I said, you know what, I'm not going down. I said, bring it on, tall biker. And I ripped my shirt. Like a wrestler. And then I did the thing with my fingers, like I twiddled my fingers in the air, like I was ready for action. And the one guy said, "Oh, you didn't want to do that." Then I picked up the tall bike that the one guy fell off when I jammed I threw the 2x4 at his neck. I took that tall bike. And I got on it. I got on the tall bike. And I pedaled the tall bike right at the window of the pizzeria. And shattered the window. And my family came pouring out. And then the owner of the pizzeria. This was the best part. He pulled out a machine gun and told these guys to go back to Brooklyn. And they said, "This is not over." So I talk tonight with fear in my voice. Thank goodness my family's okay. And I thank the owner of that pizzeria for scaring the tall bikers away. A little scared that the guy from the pizzeria had a machine gun. Have no idea what the guy was doing with it. Wasn't like a machine. It was like a... I guess it was like a machine gun. His name was Bennett's Pizzeria. You ever eat at Bennett's? His place? Good pizzeria. He had this thing. He pulled the machine gun out of the cabinet that he had in the back of his pizzeria. Oh, tall bikers, leave me alone. Stop harassing my family. 201-209-9368. Now that there's no one listening, based on that family story. I had to tell. People want to look inside the tall bike culture that I will continue to fight. I'm not going to back down, tall bikers. Figures they're like totally into the Bush, right? Figures they like Bush Cheney. Thank you. Somebody's saying on the chat they were there. They saw it happen. Hey, whatever happened to Spike? He called last week. Did you know that? Spike, the guy who's banned for life, made a call last week to the program to try to get back on the air. I think I might have to continue the ban, though. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Loomis.
Who?
Loomis.
Loomis?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Loomis?
I'm calling from Cornwall.
From where?
Cornwall.
Oh, brother. I don't even know what that was. What did he say when he called, Mike? Wait, he was more coherent than that? He wasn't less? Guy was having a little party on the phone. A little party before the call starts. I'm going to call tonight. Hello, can I speak to Tom? Hello, Mike says, best show. Hello, I'd like to get on the air. Hello, I'd like to talk to Tom. 201-209-9368. Little open phone Tuesday before we get down to brass tacks. I look at the list. Tall bikes. Cross it off the list. We have talked about it. Podcast. That's right, the podcast. Mention that. Not going to cross it off the list, though. If you are not signed up for the podcast, go to friendsoftom.com. And click on podcasts. Sign up. Imagine listening to that tall bike story any time of the day. Oh, boy. On second thought, maybe I should end the podcast and the radio show. Have a big announcement I might make next week, hopefully, if all goes well. Big announcement. Part of the good guys win, bad guys die philosophy that the best show on WFMU has been espousing. All throughout 2006, we will talk about it next week, hopefully. This would be the ultimate challenge. And we will find out if it happens. FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Tom. My name's Jerry. I wanted to call and talk to you about motorcycles. I was listening to your story. And it made me think about my friend who just bought a motorcycle a year ago. And I'm really concerned about him and everybody who drives motorcycles. I mean, these people are maniacs.
Yes, these motorcycle riders are maniacs.
There's nothing between them and the road but a little leather and a helmet. I mean, they're like adrenaline junkies, and it seems like they're only happy if they're going over 100. I think my friend's due for court. He could lose his license. He's gotten so many points this year.
I mean, getting pulled over on his motorcycle?
Yeah, I mean, you can't get pulled over doing a 110 and expect to walk away with a warning, you know?
Now, where is he riding this motorcycle?
That's another thing. These people are crazy. They drive, like, they just come up with excuses. They're like, he lives in Clifton, right? So he's like, oh, I'm going to wake up early tomorrow and take the bike down to Point Pleasant and come back, you know. Or they go up upstate, you know. They'll just hop on 9W by the bridge there and
yeah.
they'll drive up to, like, what's that military academy up there? You know, up past Nyack. I mean, they just
yeah.
ride. They just, other than gas mileage, getting good gas mileage, I really don't see the point of it.
They go up past, where's that point? Where's the academy again?
It's the military academy up in New York there. Like West Point, is it? Is that what it is?
I think it might be West Point.
I mean, you know, they're always just riding Parkway, scenic roads. But I'm worried, you know? I'm worried, and I tell them, too.
Well, let's call them. Let's call your friend and tell him to knock it off.
Really? You
yes.
want to call him?
Yeah, why don't you call back and give Mike the number off the air, and we'll call him.
All right, I'll do that.
And then we'll put you on the air, and the two of us can talk to your motorcycle-riding friend.
That sounds great, because maybe you can get through to him.
Maybe I can. Okay, call right back.
Okay.
At back. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this?
My name is Shale. I've called in a couple times, but I mean, not too recently or too frequently.
How's it going, Shale?
Oh, not bad, not bad. I had moved to New York City recently, right? You know, because I'm kind of a musician, and I thought maybe I'd start playing out because I really didn't have anything else going for me down upstate.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home for Mother's Day, you know?
Yes.
And my friend tells me that there's a seat freeing up in his van for this big concert next week, next Tuesday. We're leaving next Tuesday. It's actually the following weekend in Arkansas. My friend's band and his little studio are breaking up, and they're throwing this enormous party and having this huge concert. So now I'm in the position of not having enough money to go back to New York City and then come back in a week, but not wanting to really wait around at my mom's house for a week for my friend to pick me up in his van for us to go to this great party and concert in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
So that's my story.
So you don't want to stay at your parents for a week?
I mean, it's not terrible here. I could work on some music, but I have no friends here. It's in a place called Middletown, New York. It's pretty much a strip of chain restaurants and nothing else. I mean, if you've been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's nothing you can do constructively with that time? Read a nice book?
Yeah, I'm trying to work on some music, but it's just been so, I don't know, I get distracted here. Like, someone's painting the house downstairs, and I could read a book, I guess. I wouldn't call that the most productive thing in the world, though, I mean.
Do you have your guitar with you?
Yeah, I do. I do have my guitar with me, though I mostly sequence and track. I do my music on the computer.
All right.
Word.
Well, get some stuff done. Take advantage of the time. That's a gift.
It is.
Some quiet time is a gift.
It's nice to have. It's true. It's nice to have a time. But you know, it's like the more time you have, the less, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, but the more time I have, the less I seem to do with it.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's sort of banal.
No, I know what you mean, but now's the time for you to break that pattern.
I know. You know, for the past, like, 2 days, I've been sitting here with, like, my pad of paper, my, like, pen. You know, I've got, like, these lyrics, and, you know, I've got, like, half of an instrumental done. And I've got most of the lyrics done. I have these holes in them, and I just walk around the house, and I start, like, like, humming.
What are you?
Like, a cadence to it, and I can't fill in the holes in it, you know.
What are you, soft serve ice cream?
Maybe. No, soft serve ice cream.
What are you, soft serve ice cream?
I haven't heard that one.
Are you?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, not literally.
Are you soft serve ice? Just answer the question.
I'm not soft serve ice cream.
Then get to work. Splash some cold water on your face and write a song.
Dang.
Get to it. What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for
you. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for the perfect storm all of a sudden? Well, I got this. I got to have this, and this ready before I can sit down and write a song.
Yeah. No. There are no excuses. No excuses. I mean, I don't know why I'm not doing it.
Somebody just said on the Bobo Kick on the chat, said, count your parents' money, Richie Rich.
I'm not Richie Rich.
Well, you're hanging out in Middletown. It's a pretty fancy area.
No, it's not. I told you. It's got just a bunch of chain restaurants and people who commute to the city.
Mm-hmm. All right, fancy schmancy.
All right.
Write some music. Stop being such a baby.
Yes, sir.
Well, don't call me. We're equals. You don't have to call me sir.
Well, you're a little older than me, I think.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's a term of respect.
I guess I'm twice your age.
Okay, see? You could
you're
be
right.
My father. and I listen to your show, so I'm comfortable calling you sir.
I'm a little more than twice your age.
Okay. So, I mean,
good night, young man. Get to work.
I will do.
Get off my phone. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good tonight. Actually, I just wanted to call up to tell you that I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Oh, what's that?
Huh?
And what are we doing?
You guys really enhance, the music you guys play is ridiculous. It's awesome.
What?
It's awesome. The music you guys play is,
oh,
I like it.
Well, jeepers, that's nice of you to say.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I was just calling, like, that guy earlier. What the hell was that guy talking about?
Which guy?
That guy, Loomis, was it?
What guy was that?
Loomis. Like, the guy, he was, like, screaming, whatnot.
Yeah, it's you, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's going on tonight, Chief? You got something you want to say? Say it. I'm giving you the floor.
Give me the floor?
Okay, the floor is yours. What do you want to say? Is that what you're going to do with it? Is that what you're going to do with the floor? You're going to do with the floor? I give you the floor right now.
You gave me the floor.
And then you go, you're going to give me the floor?
Oh, I'm going to get it all, man. What are you talking about?
Get off my phone. Yeah, and close the car door. Exactly. You're calling a radio show. Yeah. Hey, I just want to know about that guy Loomis. Yeah, I just boom. Oi, come on. All right, you know what we need to get the show going? This will get it on track. Sometimes Open Phone Tuesday, that's the problem with Open Phone Tuesday. It's open. That can usually be good, but sometimes it's like if you leave a door open and anyone walks in your house. I just had that guy walk into my house. Oh, Bobo Kick's going off on the songwriter guy who called. $10 says he's got a $2,000 Martin acoustic guitar, but only knows three chords. It's on. I love it. I love it. Bobo Kick's going for it. He's going after this guy. Going after the rich kid. Slobs versus Snobs. It's on. Caddyshack 3. So you know what we're going to do? You want to play the Build-A-Movie game? Everybody likes Build-A-Movie game where you suggest three celebrities, three actors, actresses, or non-actors. You can incorporate them into the mix. And then I will, you give me a genre also, and I will give you a movie back. Utilizing those three characters and the genre. FMU, you're on the air.
What is this $2,000 guitar nonsense that Bobo is talking of?
He's saying you're a rich kid.
You know what? I do have a Martin guitar.
Well, let's get him to call. Let's talk it out. Bobo Kick, why don't you call in? 201-209-9368. And turn your radio down.
Okay,
son.
Okay. Man. Bobo. I know more than three chords.
Turn your Bose radio down.
My radio is... I don't have a Bose.
Turn your Hamacher Schlemmer radio down.
My radio is a Space Maker. That's the brand. It's made for saving space, not for being expensive. It's in my kitchen. Let me tell you about my guitar.
So you have a radio in your kitchen. Must be nice.
So most people have radios in their kitchen.
Hold up, Chief. He's going to call in a second.
Okay.
He better call or he forfeits. What, you drinking there?
Yeah, I'm drinking some hot cocoa.
Oh, you know what, though? Bobo Kick might win this one before it even begins. Hot cocoa.
What's wrong with hot cocoa?
You're soft serve.
No, I'm not soft serve.
I can tell. You're soft serve.
I'm not. You're just saying that because I have a high voice.
No, I'm saying it because you're at your parents' house drinking hot cocoa, complaining about you can't write a song.
Okay, I'm not at my parents' house, not my mother's house. Like, just my mom's house. I don't have a father.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. And We're far, far, far from rich. We are...
What's your mom do for a living?
She's a social worker.
Okay.
She makes just barely enough money to get by.
Uh-huh. And what did you go to school for?
English.
What school did you go to?
I went to SUNY Oswego. It's a state school.
Oh.
And I went and I got financial aid.
Wow, must be nice.
I'm in quite a bit of student loan debt.
Is that him? FMU, you're on the air.
How you doing there, Tommy?
Doing all right.
Glad to hear it. Shale, good evening.
Hello, Bobo.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I want to tell you a little bit about my guitar.
Please do.
I can barely hear you. Can someone turn your volume up a little bit for me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. You're right. I have a Martin acoustic guitar. It's a Martin Acoustic Electric, but it cost me $500, and I bought it 5 years ago with about half the money I made working as a summer counselor at a 4-H children's camp for an entire summer.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And I know a couple more chords than three.
How many chords do you know?
There's only like a finite number of chords. I mean, I don't know. A lot. Most of them.
You're getting pretty defensive there, Shane.
Hey, you can listen to my music if you want. I'll show it to you.
What is your music like?
It's largely electronic vocal pop, and I do incorporate the guitar sometimes. I like to do acoustic versions of the songs I've done previously electrically, and you can download it. I can give you my website if you want. I don't want to sound like I'm plugging myself.
Sure.
He called me out.
Sure.
Right.
Let's
it's shaleriley.com, www.shaleriley.
Hold on. I'm going to it right now. Hold on.
Say it again.
shaleriley.com, shaleriley.
.com.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at the website. Is that you?
That's me with the Pac-Man hat on.
My Pac-Man hat looks pretty expensive.
Thank you. Hold on. I'm on the phone.
Who was that? Your butler?
In all likelihood, it was my mother.
Uh-huh. Not your chauffeur?
Not my chauffeur. But, yeah.
Hey, Shale, what you should do with your time off, you know, instead of trucking down to Arkansas for some sort of beer blast on the weekend, is working on your music and plug it away while you have the time and the energy and you're young.
Hey, I'm working on it.
Like, you know, you should take a page from people like the Minutemen and the other groups from the Michael Lazarad.
Am I not permitted to take a little time off to listen to the best show on WFMU?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, taking a week off and lounging around getting soft at your parents' house.
I'm not taking a week off out of the desire to lounge around and get soft. It's because I can't afford to go back to the city and then back here because I'm broke because I can't get a job with my English degree. And on Tuesday I have to be here so I can go to my friend's band's party and see their final show because they're breaking up. And I think I should do that. So.
Well, you know, if you feel you should treat yourself, then, you know, by all means.
Oh. Did you earn it? Do you feel you've earned this, Shane?
Yeah, I freaking earned it. Yeah, I was just in New York City working, like, temp jobs for...
Working what kind of jobs?
Like office temp jobs. For nothing.
Hey, well, we've all been there.
Exactly.
You know?
What
are
you crying?
Yeah, but
you're soft serve!
I'm not soft. I'm hard-packed custard, Tom.
Get off my phone!
Fine.
You're soft serve! Oh, I hung up on the wrong guy. It has less effect when I'm like, get off my phone! And then I hang up. And he's like, fine, because the other line is still open. Soft serve. You know what? He might not be soft serve. I just had to move things along. Seems like a nice enough guy. I think he deserves it. I think he earned it. And I think everybody should go to his website and check his music out. Shale Riley, shaleriley.com. He's a friend of Tom. Seems like a nice enough guy. I'm in his corner. He's got a band. Let's check some of his music out right now. I'm going to give him a little burn. I'm going to give him a little airtime. Let's bring some of his music up. Let's try this. I can't trust that it doesn't have foul language in it, so I can't play too much of it. The guy's doing it. The guy's got, he's 24 years old. He's making music. I'll give him credit. Just don't be so soft.
I'm at my parents' house. And I can't write music. Just splash some water on your face and write it.
201-209-9368. That's the number here on the best show on WFMU. Here on WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope Worldwide, on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. Let's play the Build-A-Movie game. Call in now. I want three actors. Or actresses, obviously. A genre. And I will build a movie around those elements. 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Tom, good evening. It's Stefanos from Staten Island. How are you?
Who is this?
It's Stefanos from Staten Island.
Hey, Stefanos.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are things on Staten Island?
Peachy keen. Okay, I got one for you.
All right.
John Cassavetes.
Okay, hold on. Got to get ready.
All right.
Ugh. Roll my neck. Kid's got to get his head in the game for this. Okay, right. John Cassavetes,
John Lovitz, yeah, and John Goodman, and the theme is black romantic comedy.
A black romantic comedy,
yeah,
starring John Cassavetes, John Lovitz, and John Goodman.
That's it.
Hmm.
Do your worst.
Ooh boy, that's a challenge. That one. Black romantic comedy with John Cassavetes.
Come on, how difficult could it be? They're all Johns.
I'm working. I'm not going to do what you want me to do, so-called the three Johns. I'm not going to do that.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to get off the phone because I like listening to your voice, and I can't listen to the radio with the phone.
That's nice of you to say. You keep listening. I will build that movie right now. This movie with John Cassavetes, John Lovitz, and John Goodman. The black romantic comedy. Here it is. John Cassavetes is a jerk. He's going to be like he was in Rosemary's Baby. He's a jerk. He just got divorced. And his wife is taking him to the cleaners with alimony. So I was thinking, okay. He wants her to be happy. All right, no. Okay. John Cassavetes just got divorced. He's paying out alimony through the nose. His wife is started dating okay, we're gonna change it now. John Lovitz is dating a woman. This
This is a hard one. John Lovitz is dating a woman. And then along comes John Cassavetes, his boss. He meets her at the Christmas party. John Cassavetes meets John Lovitz's fiance at the company Christmas party, and he starts to try to steal her away. He's going to try to steal John Lovitz's girlfriend away. Then John Lovitz is scared that he's going to lose his fiance to John Cassavetes, who's rich and better looking than him and is the boss. So then what John Lovitz does is he gets John Goodman, who's the guy working in the mailroom. He's maybe not all there. I'm going to say he's not all there. He's working in the mailroom. He gets John Goodman to... Oh, what would he do? I'm so close. He gets John Goodman to start writing mail. He starts to start messing with the mail. Starts forging. Let me think. He starts forging. Oh, boy. This is not... I can't get this one off the ground. Am I stumped? What do I do here, Mike? This is a hard one. Okay. Clear the plate right now. All that stuff out the window. Okay, here we go. John Goodman plays a woman in this movie. John Goodman plays a woman in the movie, in drag, the whole movie. Not as a guy in drag, but actually as a woman. She loves this handsome John Cassavetes guy who isn't giving her the time of day. So then she hires this hypnotist, this third-rate magician played by John Lovitz. You seeing it now? Hires a third-rate magician to hypnotize John Cassavetes into thinking that the female John Goodman is the most beautiful woman alive. So then you have John Cassavetes now thinks that John Goodman, this woman being played by John Goodman, is a total knockout. So it's kind of a little bit like Shallow Hal. But when John Lovitz casts the spell on John Cassavetes, he also casts it in a room with mirrors, and he gets hit by the spell too. So you have these two guys competing for the affection of the female John Goodman, who went from having no one interested in her to having these two guys interested in her. All right, not a winner, but it's a movie. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to have pair up Woody Allen with Adam Sandler.
Uh huh.
And maybe throw in Bjork.
Woody Allen, Adam Sandler, and Bjork.
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of movie should that be?
I'm thinking a musical comedy about the Holocaust.
Well, you can't tell me what it's about. So you tell me it's a musical comedy. I got to figure out what it's about.
Okay. Yeah, it's a musical comedy.
It's a musical comedy, okay.
Yes.
Do you want to hang up and listen, or do you want to be on the phone for this?
I'll be on the phone.
Okay. So we got Woody Allen,
mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler,
mm-hmm.
and Bjork.
Yes.
Woody Allen is gonna make this a musical. Let's see. All right. This one's going to be called New York City Must Die.
Okay.
Woody Allen plays the mayor of New York, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? And he's like Koch was when he was toward the end of his run. Like, everybody hates him.
Oh.
Right? Well, don't be too sad. Don't worry. Remember when Ed Koch was kind of
was hated by everybody. Everybody wanted him to go away, and then he lost the Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
So Woody Allen is this hated mayor of New York City.
Uh-huh.
And he's not sure why he okay, he's hated mayor. We got something there.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler is running for it's going to be in the Democratic primaries, right?
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler's running to be mayor. He's like the handsome young guy, right?
Uh-huh.
And now Woody Allen knows he's going to lose when the primary is a week away.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to lose. Because Adam Sandler has this impeccable resume. He's married. He's a family guy. He's got a great record. He's got no blemishes on his record. But Woody Allen's completely corrupt also.
Ah, that's good.
So he goes back he's trying to figure out what's this guy's weak link, right? What's this guy's weak link? I need to bring Adam Sandler down or he's going to beat me in the primaries. I got to bring this guy down. So he finds out about in the past. He goes all the way back, and he finds out that Adam Sandler, when he was a 12, met this girl when he was overseas. Because his father was a senator, right?
Yeah.
And the young Adam Sandler met this young girl who broke his heart, like this 12-year-old heart. So it's Bjork. So Woody Allen brings Bjork to New York. To try to throw Adam Sandler off his game because they're competing. Woody Allen is not as hated as much. It's a close race.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
It's a close race. The primaries are a week away. Close race. But Woody Allen sees the writing on the wall. He's got a good chance of losing on this one. So to throw him off his game, Adam Sandler is competition. He brings this girl who broke his heart, and we're going to say not 12, from college. It was back when they were studying overseas.
Okay.
And as she comes to New York for the week before the primaries, and Woody Allen's paying her to just try to distract him and ruin him.
Yeah, because he's married.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's called New York City Must Die.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Man. You like that one, Mike? I'm 1.5 for 2. FMU, you're on the air.
How's it going, Tom?
I'm doing all right. We're playing the Build-A-Movie game where you call up with three actors or actresses and a genre, and I will build a movie out of them.
I think I got a pretty good one.
All right, I'm ready.
It's Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, okay.
Rosie Perez.
Oh, boy, okay.
And Paul Reubens.
So you got Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
It's Paul Reubens, though, not Pee Wee Herman.
Not Pee Wee Herman. Paul Reubens.
Okay. All right.
Rosie Perez and Orson Welles. And
what era Orson Welles are we talking?
Your choice.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Okay. And the genre is buddy-buddy action movie with an international spy twist.
All right. Buddy-buddy action movie with an international spy twist starring Orson Welles, Rosie Perez, and Paul Reubens.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the era of Orson Welles I'm going to go with?
Yeah.
F for fake era. 1973. Cape, hat, beard, fat. That's what we're going for. We're going for Orson Welles when he's like, I'll have the steak au poivre, please. When he's in that role.
Yeah.
But he's still charming, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got Paul Reubens and Rosie Perez. Okay. Buddy-buddy comedy.
No, buddy-buddy action.
Buddy-buddy action with some international intrigue. So this is not a funny movie. At all.
It can be, but I was gearing more towards like a
All right. No,
maybe
this
a
is not...
spy version of kind of lethal weapon formula.
All right. This one is not a. This one is not a, a fun. We're not going to make this one funny at all.
Okay.
The year 1968. Right.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Let me think about that year. What's a good Cold War year? It's a good one.
I would do, if you're going for Cold War, the height of the Red Scare, kind of mid-50s.
So mid-50s?
Yeah.
The year is, okay, here we go. I got it.
Yeah?
The year is 1957.
All right.
Rock and roll is at full swing now. You have Elvis and everything, right?
Okay.
Going crazy. It's all the rage. The FBI. Was it the FBI in the 50s? Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad with that stuff. So you have the spy agency. So you're giving me two people that I have to do buddy. If I'm doing a buddy-buddy action movie, you got two people here. So we got Paul Rubens, who's he's like a Brill-building songwriter guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Who's down on his luck.
All right.
He can't place any of these songs.
Kind of like Soft Serve.
Yeah, kind of like Soft Serve. What are you? Come on, lay off the guy.
No, he was a great sport earlier.
He was a great sport, exactly. I appreciate Shale calling. I'm not going to make him a target of anything. Kind of like Soft Serve. And he's not Soft Serve. Soft Serve is when anybody's just soft. I'm not calling him
soft. So he isn't.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we're getting back on. So Paul Rubens, failing songwriter, he's watching all these rock acts take off, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have, and he can't get a hit. He's coming up dry. So you have Orson Welles, is the head of the FBI. He's worried about this red menace, right? And we should make this like a Manchurian candidate thing a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's worried about the red menace. Got this songwriter. He gets Paul Rubens to put the message in the song. Like a subliminal message. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You following me
here?
What's that?
The trigger.
Okay, here we go. Here it is. Orson Welles had an agent out there.
Uh-huh.
Who is lost. Who he had trained like a Manchurian candidate. Who could be set off with one phrase. And this was going to be the phrase. And then he lost contact with him. He's gone. He can't find the guy. Right?
Yeah.
Or girl. Get ready, right?
Uh-huh.
Or girl, ... exclamation point. So he gets Paul Rubens. He needs this agent to help fight the Cold War. This was his number one agent with all this information. He needs to bring this agent back in. And he knows the code word to bring the agent back in. And the code word, the movie's going to be called Code Word. Code Word. Colon, right, code word, boom, dot, dot, what's a good one? Code word, albatross, right?
Uh-huh.
So he gets this songwriter to do this record called Do the Albatross, right? And it's got this one line in it that triggers the agent to wake up again. So he needs this song to be a hit so that everybody can hear it. And then the agent can be called back in. You follow? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following.
So he gets this failed songwriter to do that. And Rosie Perez is Rosie Perez is the woman. Now, this spy actually is has amnesia. who's out there, right?
Yeah.
Who do you want him to be played by? Give me a fourth. Fourth name.
Oh. A fourth?
A fourth. Yeah.
Oh, a fourth.
Yeah. Fourth name.
He should be played by Don Johnson.
Perfect. So we have Don Johnson. He's for a year he's had amnesia. He's been living, he's been working at this he's a bartender. His name is Evan, the bartender in Rhode Island. He's been working. And he's the worst bartender ever. He doesn't give people free drinks no matter how many times they tip him.
Okay.
Real tight with the, you'd think he owned the place. He's so tight with the drinks. I'm like, do you know what? People are tipping this guy $2, and he still won't cough up a free drink.
All right.
So Don Johnson is playing Evan the bartender, working at the, and then Rosie Perez is the woman who's living with. She's a waitress, and she sees all of a sudden he starts to get weird when this record "Do the Albatross" starts playing on the jukebox. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not sure what to do. She sees he's like acting like he's talking about a whole other life, and she doesn't know what to do. And then he slowly starts. She keeps knocking him back out every time he gets woken up by "Do the Albatross." But Orson Welles isn't happy. He wants to know where his number one agent is. He finds out he's in Rhode Island, and Orson Welles, with the FBI behind him, comes in. Not so good. So what we're going to do...
That kind of started falling apart.
No, what we're going to do...
No,
I just fixed it. Sorry, I didn't mean
just
to yell at
you. Okay.
I just fixed it.
Go ahead.
There was an exciting adventure where Don Johnson, the agent was for America, was fighting... this woman who was, Rosie Perez is of Latina descent,
that's exactly
right?
Exactly what I was getting at.
We're going to say she's a Cuban. She was working for Cuba. And the two of them got amnesia. Right? Then they woke up and they fell in love.
Oh my gosh.
There's your movie.
That sounds like an amazing movie.
Thank you. Do the owl. It's called Codename Albatross.
Do you think that for the credits, we could get the rights to the Public Image LTD song, Albatross?
I think that might jar with the 50s mood we want to set. Playing some Public Image Limited might not jibe, but I think it's worth doing. It's a statement. Thanks.
Sure thing.
You have
Bye.
A good night. Bye. We're playing the build-a-movie game. You give me three actors or actresses in a genre, and we build a movie out of it. 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Who's this?
This is Larry.
Hey, Larry. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhasset.
Where's that?
It's in New York.
Okay.
Oh, like upstate New York. Whatever. Sure. It doesn't matter.
What do you got for me, Larry?
Well, I wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show.
No, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate
and
that.
You have more than three subscribers to your podcast.
I know. I have 17.
Oh, yeah, more than that, though.
17. I checked before I went on the air.
All my friends.
Okay.
I have more than 17 friends, and they all listen to the show.
Well, that's nice. I got a job. Maybe I'll check. Maybe it went up then.
What's going on? I haven't been paying attention.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, we're playing the build-a-movie game. So, you know, you should listen for a little bit, then call back.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Larry. Bye. That can't be real. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, I'd like to play the game, build-a-movie.
Oh, okay. Who's this?
This is Seth.
Seth?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Seth?
I'm calling from my car on the Garner State Parkway North.
Nice. Which exit? What exit? I'm
heading towards exit 153.
Ah, classic exit. That's a classic exit.
Yeah, it certainly is. Route 3, yeah.
Paramus.
What a great exit.
Coming up on, was that Paramus?
No, that's actually, you know, near Clifton, Passaic, that area towards the Lincoln Tunnel.
Passaic, that's actually what I think I meant Passaic. No, I actually meant Paramus. You're near the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, it's a little south of Paramus.
Good stuff. Good stuff up there.
Yeah.
So let's play the game. Who do you got for me?
Okay, I have Emmanuel Lewis.
Emmanuel Lewis.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
And the guy who played Balky, Bartakamoose.
The guy who played Bronson Pinchot.
Yes, thank you, Bronson. Okay. I wonder why I forgot his name.
This one's pretty easy.
Well, let's see. It's a religious period film.
Oh, well, now it's not easy.
Yeah, it's a serious religious period film.
A serious religious period film.
Yeah, you can choose the religion, you can choose the period.
Okay, I think I got this one.
Okay.
This one's called David and Goliath.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Now you have Bronson Pinchot in this one. We'll be playing, obviously Emmanuel Lewis is going to play David.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You got Goliath is going to be played by Bronson Pinchot and Corey Feldman.
Oh, like a two-headed thing.
Exactly. Like they're wearing an old-fashioned horse costume.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, but you got to give me a little more meat to the film. I mean, you know, there's got to be some sort of twist.
These religious films, if you don't want it, if it's a religious film, if you're going to see it, you're going to see it. If you're not going to see it, you're not going to see it. David and Goliath, starring Emmanuel Lewis, Corey Feldman, and Bronson Pinchot.
I would watch it.
There you go.
And what if it was a different genre? What genre would you think would best fit these three actors?
I might have to mutate the other idea that I had in for other people tonight. So I got a.
Okay, yeah, you don't have too many ideas tonight, do you?
What?
I'm human.
Okay. Well, good. You pressed my button, and I was going to do a thing where it was going to be Bronson Pinchot's a toy maker. And he makes Emmanuel Lewis, right? Like a Pinocchio kind of thing.
All right.
He makes Emmanuel Lewis, and then he made Corey Feldman a few years earlier, and he's jealous. So you have like the two Pinocchios fighting.
Oh, see, that's great. Is Corey Haim in that one?
Give me a third one. I'll give you another one. Give me a third genre. I'll keep it going with these three guys. Tell me I don't have any ideas.
Romantic comedy.
A romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, easy. Emmanuel Lewis plays Cupid. He plays Cupid.
There you go.
And then you have Bronson Pinchot and Corey Feldman are both interested. He accidentally shot both of them, and they're both interested in the same woman. So Cupid made a mistake.
Who would be played by whom?
Cupid would be played by Emmanuel Lewis. And
I know, but who would the woman be played by?
Well, the woman would be played just by a woman.
Well, which woman?
Name a woman.
You name the woman. This is your idea.
Farrah Fawcett. It'll be played by Farrah Fawcett.
Okay.
And then Bronson Pinchot is interested in Farrah Fawcett, staring at her with his googly eyes, as was Corey Feldman. And Cupid flew along, and he accidentally shot Corey Feldman, Farrah Fawcett, and Bronson Pinchot.
Oh, now there's this triangle guy.
Yes. Tell me I have no ideas. I just gave you three for the one. Give me a fourth one.
You're
I'm
in the wrong
going.
Business. You're great. You should be in movies, my
friend. Hey, give me a fourth one.
Mike
just yelled to me. What did he yell?
Like Survivor, like plane crashes in, you know, in like some like snow-filled, so snow-capped mountain, and they're like, you know, dying and have to eat each other or something.
Well, that's
like
you're writing the movie. I mean, why don't you just say disaster movie.
Sorry.
Mike is yelling war movie. You want a war movie?
Fine, give me a war movie.
Okay, this one's called The Last Day of Hitler.
Oh, God.
It's called The Last Days of Hitler. Okay?
Oh, no.
Corey Feldman plays Hitler. Emmanuel Lewis plays Joseph Goebbels.
Oh, no.
And who was the other one? Bronson Pinchot plays Himmler.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Oh, man.
You have a good night.
You're too good.
Okay, bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
All right, how are you doing? Who's this?
My name is Dan. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Wow, how are things out there?
They're good. They're good.
Now, what do you play in the Theme Weavers? What instrument?
No, I'm in the Plarns, actually.
What's that?
I was in the Plarns.
The Plarns. Where do I know the Plarns from again?
I sent you an entry.
That's right.
Yeah.
Were you mad at the Theme Weavers won?
No, actually, I think they deserved it.
That was a good song.
I think the Survivor sort of song was really good, too.
You mean the good guys win, bad guys die?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That ends the show.
Yeah, that's great.
We end the show with that one.
That's a great one.
Now give me three celebrities. We're going to play the Build-A-Movie game.
Yeah, I got three for you, but that guy stole my idea for a period piece. So, okay, the actors are going to be Peter DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise's son.
That's right.
Okay.
Billy Barty.
Who people know Peter DeLuise from
21 Jump Street.
Okay.
I think that's it. Billy Barty.
Uh-huh.
And Tina Yothers.
Who was on The Facts of Life.
No, that was...
She was on the growing... She was on the...
Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Yeah. And the genre?
Yeah.
I was going to pick period piece, but I'm going to pick fantasy horror. Or maybe just fantasy.
Fantasy horror.
Yeah.
Okay, so or fantasy horror or just fantasy. So we have Billy Barty.
Right.
Tina Yothers.
Right.
And who's
Peter DeLuise.
And Peter DeLuise.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Tina Yothers. Billy Barty. Okay.
All right. I'm also going to get off the phone because I'm at work here. But I just wanted to plug Danielson real quick if I can. Because they're going to be playing here in San Francisco on June the 2nd at the Bottom of the Hill.
There you go. Well, thank you. Are you going to go to that show?
I'll be there.
Are you going to talk to them afterwards?
You know, I was thinking about it. I don't like being, you know, annoying.
Go up to the main guy, Daniel, and tell him that you listen on the best show.
Oh, I'm going to show him my card.
He'll appreciate that.
That's a great idea.
There you go. He'll appreciate that. And they'll listen for me to weave this tale. Thanks, buddy.
Good. Thanks, Tom.
Have fun. Bye-bye. So we have Peter DeLuise, Billy Barty, and Tina Yothers. This one, let me think. Horror. He wanted horror/fantasy. Billy Barty plays the Puppet Master. Was there a series of movies called Puppet Master? Have you ever seen those, Mike? Isn't that a horror series? So I'm not going to... So we're going to stay away from Puppet Master. The Puppeteer, I think it was called. So we're going to have a thing called... It's called Jealousy. The movie's called Jealousy. And it's kind of like The Grudge. It's on a honeymoon. Peter DeLuise and Tina Yothers just got married. They're on their honeymoon and they go to kind of like an old-fashioned like Evil Dead type cabin. So that Peter DeLuise can work on his novel. And Tina Yothers opens this like old crock pot that's on a shelf. Not realizing that it wasn't a crock pot, that there was like a spirit trapped in it. The spirit of jealousy. No, it's called Envy. It's called Envy. And a green Billy Barty comes out of it. He's painted totally green. And he, like, overtakes their souls and makes them hate each other. And then it's like a War of the Roses type thing where you have the married couple out in the woods trying to kill each other until they realize that they're both possessed by the spirit of envy, a.k.a. Billy Barty. And they have to find a way to break that spell. There you go. FMU, you're on the air.
Tom?
Yes?
Oh, hey, it's Evan.
Hey, Evan, how are you?
Good, yourself?
I'm doing all right.
So I have an idea for a sweeping epic.
Which Evan is this, the bartender?
No, this is the Montclair guy who every time I say I'm from Montclair, you tell me what zip code, and then I tell you it's the other zip code.
Oh, you're the one from Upper Montclair.
Exactly.
You're fancy.
Yeah, we're actually looking for someone who might be able to resod our lawn. I don't know if any listeners are, you know, interested.
Yeah, well, let's see if any of my blue-collar workers listening.
Hopefully an illegal immigrant.
Maybe they could resod your mansion.
Yeah, if they have the time. It would take about, I'd say, most of the summer.
All right, well, let's see. The people that can find you in Upper Montclair.
So we're looking at a sweeping epic with Isai Morales.
Isai Morales from La Bamba.
Yeah. Rebecca De Mornay.
Rebecca De Mornay, the actress.
And Rutger Hauer.
And Rutger Hauer. A sweeping epic?
Yes.
Okay. A sweeping epic. So we have Isai Morales.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Rutger Hauer.
And Rutger Hauer. Okay. A sweeping epic. Do you mean like a historical epic?
I think it's more something that takes a long time.
Okay.
Like maybe like, you know, like a trek across a desert, or maybe like a year in the life of a potato farmer or something, you know, something that
okay.
is
okay. All right. All right, you're helping me here. This one is called The Bering Strait. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these three I don't like that. I'm going to throw that one out right now. We got a It's going to be Rutger Hauer. How can we use Rutger Hauer?
Well, I think we could play on their ethnicities. That you got Isai Morales, who is a Latino.
Yes.
Rutger Hauer, who is a German.
Yes.
And you don't see many movies where these two types of ethnicities come together.
Oh, I got it now. Here's the ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story. It's a war going on in Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And Rutger Hauer comes down. He's like a gun runner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing weapons down from Germany, right? And he's gonna that stinks.
It's tough.
Oh, no. Here we go. I got it. Do you know where, you know that section of Texas that's inhabited primarily by German people?
Actually, I don't.
You don't?
They're probably like the Midland area? That's
exactly.
West Texas?
Well, no, right on the border.
Oh, Big Bend, that area.
Sure.
Okay.
There's this area inhabited totally by, no, hold on, I got it. Rutger Hauer is a land baron who came from Europe. Right?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
And he bought all this property. And he bequeathed Isai Morales' family, who worked for years helping Rutger Hauer. For generations. He bequeathed him 1 acre of property. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And on that acre, Isai Morales strikes oil.
Oh, my God, that's great.
There you go.
Wait, what about Rebecca De Mornay?
She plays Rutger Hauer's wife.
But she also has a thing for Isai Morales.
Of course. Okay. She knows that he is just, and that when Rutger Hauer is trying to reclaim that acre of land, she knows that her husband is wrong.
And do you have a name for this film?
It's called Oil, with an exclamation point.
I don't know why. All your movies are like one-word titles.
Simple. You keep it moving. It's simple.
Exactly.
Thanks, right, buddy. Thanks, Evan. Bye. We're playing the Build-A-Movie game, where you present three actors or actresses and a genre, and we build a movie out of it. 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. This is going to be a romantic comedy.
Ew. What's your name? What's your name, young man?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jack from Montclair, from Lower Montclair.
From Lower Montclair with the plebes.
Yeah, with the norms.
Bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
Okay, romantic comedy.
Now, I have about seven names written down, but I'll just list three.
Give me three.
Definitely Peter Krause. I don't know if you watched 6 Feet Under.
No, I don't.
It's Nate. No, you don't know who that is?
Give me somebody else, please. I don't know who that is. I can't properly create a movie for somebody I don't know.
Okay. His understudy would then be Joe Pantoliano.
Joey Pants. Okay.
Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow.
Romantic interest.
Well, no, please don't tell me who they are.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow.
And Rick Moranis.
And Rick Moranis. And this is what kind of movie?
A romantic, like a black romantic comedy.
A black romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Starring Joey Pants and Lisa Kudrow and Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Okay. This one's called Nerds in Love, right?
Mm.
And Joey Pants and Rick Moranis, they both run a opposing comic book stores across the street from each other, right?
That's pretty good.
Oh, well, gee, thanks.
Well, this is harder because, I mean, the guy who gave Balky, he named probably the three most ironic, like, obvious characters you could think of.
Yeah, he was doing the Surreal Life cast.
Yeah, exactly.
So just listen to this movie. Yeah. It's not called Nerds in Love. It's called Nerds Need Love Too. .. Or do they? Okay? Somebody's saying I was given too short a title. That's a nice long one.
Yeah.
They run two opposing comic book stores across the street from each other. Mm-hmm. Right? No, it's called... Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. I'll move faster. So Lisa Kudrow, here we go. It's not called Nerds Need Love or Do They. It's called Nerds Need Love... And... No, hold on. It's called Nerds Need Love... and mint comic books, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have these two nerds across the street from each other.
Lisa, you can't just leave it. Joey Pants isn't just a nerd. He's a kind of a tough nerd.
He's a versatile actor. He plays in... Oh, no, okay. Oh, fine. Okay, I'm throwing it out the window. Here we go. Rick Moranis plays a nerd. There's not two opposing comic book shops. Rick Moranis plays a nerd. Lisa Kudrow, she thinks her husband dies in an accident. Her husband, played by Joe Pantoliano, she thinks he dies in some sort of accident. And
right.
He's been gone for a year. So she sells his comic book collection off. Rick Moranis lies about the value of it, steals it from her, pretty much. You following me?
Yeah.
Low balls are beyond belief. Not knowing. Love in mint condition. That's what somebody
like,
just put
one,
on.
Like, green.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a Fantastic Four number one in there. Rick Moranis tells her that he gives her $2,000 for the collection. Meanwhile, he just bought all this money.
Yeah.
I mean, he just bought all these comic books worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So he's got this thing. Rick Moranis just ripped off Lisa Kudrow. Thinking her husband's gone. She said she was going to leave the country. She had to sell the stuff right away. He comes back. And he's looking for his comic books now. What do you think about that?
That's great.
There you go. Thank you. We'll play a few more rounds of Build a Movie. FMU, you're on the air.
Tom.
Yes.
Hey, it's Paycheck in Toronto.
Hey, Paycheck. How are you?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing okay.
Good. I just want to say this is like one of the funnest games.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's, isn't it?
I like it a lot. It gets my head working.
It gets the juices flowing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
Okay. I want a gritty cop drama.
Like a gritty cop drama.
Like, I want this, like, uh-huh. you know, like Narc?
Yes.
I want, like, Narc... To be like
Narc on crack.
No, I want like it's going to make Narc look like You've Got Mail.
You want Narc on steroids.
I want French Connection 3.
You want French Connection. I want French Connection 2 on steroids.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. Willie DeVille.
The singer.
Lead singer from Mink DeVille.
Yes.
And he's kind of older now.
Sure.
He's still got the mustache.
Sure.
Ghostface Killa in his big screen debut.
Okay, yes.
And Elvis Presley at his absolute fattest.
All right.
Like, you ever seen that footage, like, Elvis, like, in Buffalo 2 weeks before he died when he's just, like, gargantuan?
Yeah, okay.
Like, sweaty.
So we got this movie.
Yes.
It's called Scum Force.
Right on.
Ready for this?
Yes.
Elvis Presley plays like the absolute scummiest, sleaziest pusher, like king drug lord kind of guy.
Yes.
Polluting schools with drugs. He's actually got teachers selling drugs to kids in schools. Right?
Yes.
You got Willie DeVille is working for him. But he's actually a cop. He's not a cop, he's an FBI guy who's been working for him for years.
He's deep undercover.
So deep undercover, but here's the thing. While getting undercover, he developed a heroin addiction.
Right.
So he's a total, filthy junkie.
Yes.
Right? This is called King of Scum Mountain. It's not called Scum Force. So you have he's a totally out of his gourd. He doesn't even remember that he's an FBI agent anymore. Right. So who else do we have again?
Ghostface.
Ghostface Killer. He plays a guy. Ghostface Killer plays he's like a mayoral candidate for his town, right?
Ah.
He's going to try to clean up the neighborhood.
So against character, very nice.
Exactly. We're going against character. And the chess pieces are on the board. Now we got to move the chess pieces around. He's trying to clean up. Okay, here we go. He's trying to clean up the neighborhood, and that would step on Elvis's turf.
Right.
So Elvis tells Willie DeVille to take him out.
Ah.
Right?
Yes.
But he's torn now because he's a DEA agent, but he's also completely
strung out.
He's completely strung out, and he's so morally just completely scrambled now.
Yes.
That he's got to take out this guy who he knows is a good guy, but the secret. Somebody needs a secret on somebody.
Right. Like an Achilles heel or whatever.
Yes, here we go. The Achilles heel is that Willie DeVille and Ghostface Killer, they both went to the academy together.
Right.
So they knew each other.
Right.
Back then. But Willie DeVille got his face mutated in a fire.
Okay.
So he's not recognizable anymore.
Right.
By Ghostface Killer. There you go.
That sounds good. I'm gonna green light that. That sounds.
Thank
great.
You. Thank you for green lighting.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, Paige. And we're gonna play in a little bit a game that you came up with.
Yeah.
Later in the show, it's gonna be a fast paced one. Rate your high school experience 1 through 10.
Well, I'm gonna break the rules. I'm gonna call him twice. I'm gonna.
Call you're more than welcome to.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom. Bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. It was about okay. It is 9:56. And you are the first woman to call tonight.
Oh, really?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is your name, madam?
Michelle.
How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing okay. Where are you calling from?
From Chatham.
Chatham, 07928.
Yeah.
How are things in Chatham?
A little quiet.
So what would you like? Do you have three people for me for the Build-A-Movie game?
Yeah. Okay. Shirley MacLaine. Rosario Dawson.
Oh, the Shirley. Let me think. Shirley MacLaine.
Mm-hmm. Rosario Dawson. And Daniel Day Lewis in like a dramedy.
And Daniel Day Lewis.
Yeah.
In a dramedy.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson, Daniel Day Lewis. Okay, I'm thinking of the age gap. Could do like Something's Got to Give kind of thing, but I'm not going to. Let's see. Ah, here we go. Rosario Dawson and Shirley MacLaine are a May-December lesbian couple. Okay, wasn't that... Okay.
Okay.
But they both fall for the new hunk. They both, fall for this hunk, Daniel Day-Lewis, who's a cobbler. who moves to town. They live out in like a fancy town, like they live in Upper Montclair. Okay.
Okay.
They live in Upper Montclair, and they both fall for this guy. There you go.
Okay.
And they both are fighting. They're both fighting. Okay. They're fighting each other, and it's not very good, but it will bomb.
I would
but
see it. I'll
they,
see
well,
it.
Well, you've seen it. I'm glad.
Okay.
All right. You have a good night.
Bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Josh. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
This is Josh. I'm calling from Hong Kong. How you doing?
You're calling from Hong Kong right now.
That's right. We're having a typhoon right now in Hong Kong, so I get to take the day off work.
What time is it in Hong Kong?
It is 9:57 a.m., my friend.
Really? Now, what brought you to Hong Kong?
I got tired of Staten Island, I guess. I've been in Asia for a long time. I'm a big movie fan, too. Big movie fan.
How can I get some proof that you're in Hong Kong?
I you could look at my website if you like. You want me to flog my website on the air? I'm a journalist. I live here. I work for magazines.
Hold on.
Sent you money from Hong Kong about 2 months ago. I sent FMU money from Hong Kong with love because I love FMU. I grew up listening to FMU.
You sound very convincing.
I'm from Hong Kong. I can say something in Chinese if you like, but I'm not going to do that. That would be cheesy.
Do you want to promote your website? Let's give your way. Okay, what is it?
www.joesambro.com. My name is Joshua Samuel Brown. Hello to Staten Island. Hello, Staten Island. Is the dump still there? They didn't get rid of that dump yet, did they?
No, they didn't get rid of the dump yet.
I missed it.
Joe
dump.
Sambro?
I'm sorry.
How do you spell your website?
joesambro.com. J-O-S. AMBRO, like Joshua Samuel Brown.
JOS.
I'm just promoting myself.
AMBRO.
I'm calling to play a game, not to promote myself, but okay.
Well, there it is. Okay.
Joe Sambro, that's him. There I am.
How long have you been in?
Buy my book. I sent you $25. Buy my book. Go on. Sorry.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's play the game.
Let's play the game, okay? Now, listen, I heard somebody say Elvis, so I'm assuming that we can use stars of stage and screen who have passed on to the other side.
Absolutely.
Okay, no problem. So I'm going to make it easy on you, okay? Sandra Bernhard, who is not dead, to my knowledge.
Yes.
Sandra Bernhard. Tor Johnson.
Yes.
And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay.
And my theme is an Edwardian-era drama, the sort that you see in, that Merchant Pictures puts out. Merchant Ivory Pictures, Edwardian-era drama.
Okay. So, this one is called, so we have Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Tor Johnson.
Tor Johnson.
And Sandra Bernhard.
I'm assuming she's the love interest, but this is your baby. You do with it what you will.
Bobcat Goldthwait. It's called, this one's called the, this one's called the monster in the boudoir. No, not the boudoir. No, I'm not calling the boudoir. Well, give me a place in the house, so not in an old fashioned house.
The wardrobe.
The monster.
The wardrobe was a place.
The monster.
We get a little bit of a crossover with the Lion, the Witch, and the wardrobe.
It's called the monster
in
the.
I don't know if you want to go for that. Hollywood's always doing that sort of stuff.
Called the monster in the crawl space.
I like it. Okay, go on.
Bobcat Goldthwait plays an author back in the what era are we saying again?
Edwardian era,
Edwardian era.
Or Victorian. We can even say Victorian. Let's say Victorian era.
In the Victorian, he plays an
remains
author.
Of the day. I meant Victorian. I said Edwardian. I meant Victorian.
He plays an author, and this author is really pushy, right? He's trying really hard. He wrote this book.
Okay.
And it was about his travels over to the Far East.
Right.
Right. And he really.
Well, I am, but that would have been no easy feat back then.
He's
long boat rides, trains.
He's pushing the book, and he's a little tacky with how hard he pushes the book. He even has a daguerreotype that he keeps shoving in everybody's face.
Yeah, have a look at my book. It's really good. I wrote
exactly.
it about my travels. Buy it.
And the
it's
book
only like 50 pounds.
And the book is called Vignettes of Taiwan.
Brilliant. I like that. It would have been Formosa back in those days, but I see where you're going with this. Ooh, you're helping
it's
me.
Called Vignettes of Formosa.
Okay.
And his sister, Sandra Bernhard. They're a family in decline.
They're a family in decline, okay.
Yes. And she, to save the family, marries Tor Johnson. Who is a wealthy land baron.
A wealthy land baron. Are there going to be any scenes of the two of them running across the hills in Wales, hand in hand?
Yes, there will be.
Okay, that's pretty much Ira Gore for this kind of film.
And it's called
Merchant Ivory here.
This one is just being made by Merchant.
Okay, Merchant. I thought it was Merchant Ivory. Is it Merchant or Merchant Ivory?
It's Ismael Merchant and James Ivory, I believe, are the two guys who make those movies.
Okay.
Merchant.
I'm thinking this is chick flick so far.
Yes.
Okay.
She marries the guy Sandra Bernhard and Bobcat Goldthwait are a married couple. And
how is Sandra marrying Tor?
Just, do you want to see the movie or not?
I want to see the movie, but I'm saying there were very strict laws back then. You got tied to a pillar for that sort of thing back then, for even talking about it. But
yeah,
okay.
And that's why it's a movie, because it's going to have consequences.
Okay.
That's called dramatic.
Okay.
Maybe your book might have been better served by some of this stuff I'm throwing your way.
I'm thinking of a sequel already. Maybe that's why Bobcat had to go to Taiwan in the first place.
Just so you know, I own every idea said during the Build movie game.
Don't!
And by association, I own the rights to your book.
Because
you mentioned it.
I'm going with this anyway. I like it anyway. You're a gentleman and a scholar, so go on.
So,
are you done?
No, I'm not done. So
okay.
They're married. Bobcat Goldthwait has a threshing accident. He falls into a thresher.
That's a funny coincidence because I also fell into a thresher.
Are you okay?
Well, I had both of my arms removed, yeah. But, I mean, I'm okay besides that. Besides
are you serious?
No. There's very few threshing accidents in Hong Kong nowadays. There's very little threshing done.
Well, this is a threshing accident back then.
Okay.
Bobcat Goldthwait lost his face in the threshing accident.
Okay.
His face was removed.
That's going to create a lot of sympathy with people who also have lost their faces in threshing accidents.
Exactly. So, well, if the call drops, I don't have to finish the movie.
Hello?
FMU, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom. How's it going, baby?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this?
This is Teresa.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I just, maybe this is short, but I'm just...
Where are you calling from, Teresa?
I'm just calling from Manhattan, from the Lower East Side.
Okay.
And I just have, you know, I had this idea, because I was trying to think of something for this, for your movie, what's it called again, the movie? Well, all right, but the whole idea is, like, Burt Reynolds, Christina Ricci, Tom Selleck... And I'm having a hard time because I had this image, like a courtship of Eddie's father.
Burt Reynolds, Christina.
But it's like a children's special, menage a trois kind of thing. And I don't know if that's too specific then. But I'm just thinking, how could you do it so that...
Watch this.
Okay.
Burt Reynolds on one side.
Yes.
Tom Selleck on the other side.
Of course.
Christina Ricci in the middle.
Okay. Got the picture.
It's called Two Mustaches, No Waiting. Christina Ricci owns a barber shop.
No.
Yes.
What's the difference between Tom and Bert? There has to be something, and that's what was really troubling me, because I was, you know, because you have to make it subtle, right?
Burt Reynolds plays a nasty landlord, and Tom Selleck plays a troubled lawyer.
Wow, that just has so many possibilities.
Tom Selleck plays an ex-football player who blew his knee out.
but what would you call? Would you sell it? Like, how is it? Like, is it just like? Is it too far out there? Or that you think two mustaches?
It's called two mustaches. No waiting.
No wedding.
And they both, every day they get their mustaches trimmed at this barber shop, right?
Like the shave and the haircut is like a theme or something, you know?
And they fall in love with the young hairstylist, Christina Ricci.
Right, well, God, you know, if it hadn't been that you said that you owned all these rights, I'd be like writing it down now.
I'm changing it now. It's Burt Reynolds is the owner of a sports franchise.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Tom Selleck is the is a sports writer. He's a down-on-his-luck sports writer.
Right, the change is disturbing me, but I understand where you're going.
He's a down-on-his-luck sports writer.
Yeah.
And they're both fighting over the same woman. So the two of them battle now. Now they get into battles that have to do with, like Tom Selleck starts writing an expose on the owner, trying to get it so a new stadium can't get built. That's what he's been working on this whole time.
Right, but is it like a thing where you try to draw into a movie thing and then you make a series out of it, or did he just go right for the television thing? What would you do?
I didn't follow you on that last one.
You try to make it like the movie that launches the television series?
Oh, no. We're just building quality movies tonight.
Quality movies.
If they spin off into TV series, so be it.
Well, you know, I think you're so much better and wiser.
Thank you, Tom. You have a good night, Teresa.
You too.
Bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Karen from Chicago.
How you doing, Karen?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
So, I have a premise for a movie.
Okay.
It's three men and a baby, but it's going to be starring Klaus Kinski, Warren Oates, and Harvey Keitel.
Oh, so you just wrote the movie already. You're remaking Three Men and a Baby with those three people.
No, but it would be awesome if you can, give, a little plot or something.
I can't. I don't write the movie. I build the movie.
You could build a really good movie with that.
Well, you just did build a really good movie with that.
That'd be a really good movie, I think.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I got a comedy for you.
All right.
It's that guy who plays Stifler in American Pie.
Sean William Scott.
Okay. And
you like how fast I said that?
That was quick. And
okay.
Jessica Simpson. And Johnny Knoxville. I know it's a hard one, but I will take my answer off the air.
Oh, so let me get this straight before you hang up. Jessica Simpson.
Right.
Johnny Knoxville.
You got it.
This was a movie already. They were in the Dukes of Hazzard together.
But a comedy I'm talking about.
Oh. Wah, wah, wah. So that's like a zinger at the expense of the Dukes of Hazzard. You made a funny joke there.
Was it good?
I've heard better.
All right.
Nice try, though. Thank you.
Bye.
And the Build-A-Movie game goes out like a lamb. With somebody writing a movie already and calling up just kind of telling me about it. And another person making a joke about a comedy starring Sean William Scott, Johnny Knoxville, and Jessica Simpson. But a comedy. This is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope Worldwide, on the World Wide Web at WFMU. One group that don't mess around is Elope. Best show on WFMU here for another ...35 minutes left in the program. The phone number, 201-209-9368. We just heard from the Muldoons, who came through WFMU back in March and did a live session on Joe Belock's show, Three Chord Monty. That's them doing Agitated, the Electric Eels classic. And before that, the Inflictors from the Ace of Hearts collection, 12 classic 45s, compiling 12 45s on the label. We heard Everybody Wants to Survive. That one going out to associate producer Mike, working hard on the other side of the glass, screening your calls. Music Machine before that from the album Ignition. We heard Mother Nature, Father Earth. Some previously unreleased Music Machine, I believe. Don't quote me on that. And starting off, Elope. Good band from over in Sweden. Their new album's called 3WD. And we heard Misbehaving in the Summer Night. And it is on the Gravitation label. You can track that down. A little more than a half hour left in the program. As you know, the radio genre has been taking a little bit of a hit lately due to the words of the guy Star from the Star and Buck Wild program, who, while in a war with another disc jockey, made horrible racist, pedophilic threats against his wife and child. Star was competing with the DJ. What was the guy's name? DJ Envy or something like that. The Power 105 Hot 97 Wars. And the threats got out of hand. Now, a lot of people in the radio industry, they have a rule that you don't go up against another brother jock. But I am not scared of the rules. I'm not scared of breaking the fraternity to say I condemn what Star said. I give you the thumbs down, sir, saying things like that. Now, I might not be the most popular guy when I'm back over at the Guild with this, the Jocks Guild. They don't want to hear that. It's like the blue flu. It's like you're supposed to be united. Cops stick together. Firemen stick together. Disc jockeys stick together. On this one, though, I'm breaking rank. Now, I will say this is a very courageous stand for me to take, and I should be applauded. But I think it's just in line with how fantastic I am. And what a brave individual I have become. Now, I was reading the Jersey Journal. On the cover of the Jersey Journal, it's an article called Stalk Radio, which is, talk radio is the play on words there. And it says that a New York City woman is wanted Diane Pryor has 2.5 million listeners, but there's one she'd no longer care to hear from. Pryor, a top-rated disc jockey for Jersey City-based WKTU, never heard of it, told police she's being stalked by a Manhattan woman who's been filling her voicemail box with explicit messages for the past year. Not cool. That's what I say about that one. Not cool. DJs are human, too. Yes, I was out on a limb on that one. On both of these stands. They also say in radio that the listener is always right. Well, in this case, with this woman stalking a disc jockey, I'm going to do another bit of shocking line crossing and say, you as a listener are out of line. Show more respect to the disc jockey. I know they're not going to look too kindly on me next time I go to the club. The golden microphone. I might not get my usual table next to John Montone. But that's the risk I'll take. And that's the kind of courage I possess. 201-209-9368. Want to sign up for the Best Show on WFMU podcast? We've got 17 subscribers now. You got to go over to friendsoftom.com and click on podcast. Sign up, because if you don't sign up, the podcast is going to go away. We need your support. Get on board. Now, high school. For some people, high school was the best time of their life. For some people, it was the worst time of their life. They're so glad to be beyond it. Some people wish they could go back to it. Paycheck, who you know is one of the theme song contest winners, he wrote a rockin' theme. He's one half of the Mr. and Mrs. Paycheck duo. Wrote a hot theme you'll hear every couple weeks on the show. He suggested a theme for this evening, a call-in segment called Rate Your High School Experience on a scale of 1 to 10. And you know what? We're going to do that right now. 201-209-9368. I want you, the WFMU listener, you rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, and 10 being the best, of course. And tell me why. Just give me a quick why. There's going to be a fast mover. 201-209-9368. Mike is on the other side of the glass, screening away. I want you to rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10. 201-209-9368. The crackpots are not making it through. Mike shoots them down. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Paycheck calling back.
Paycheck calling to inaugurate his own segment.
That's right. My own topic. Amazing. I was inspired by a line I was reading saying that nobody cool ever had a good time in high school. So I always thought, you know, you got a pretty cool audience, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So I was wondering, I was kind of like curious if the entire listening community all had absolute hellish high school, you know, experiences. But maybe not. Like I was thinking maybe some people had great, you know, experiences.
Now, how would you rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10, Paycheck?
You know, I'm going to give it a 5 because I didn't have a great time. I'll put it this way. I was maligned, but I was not physically assaulted. So that's how I put it.
Okay.
So I was never beaten up.
You were not beaten up during your high school experience, but you still were not...
I think I was pretty much... For half of it, it's fine. I got kind of a two. I was like, half of it, I was pretty much a stone cold nerd, and the second half of it, I played in punk rock bands. So there you go.
So you found the way to deal with it and to be cool.
I found my niche. Yes.
Exactly. Was this a regular public high school?
Yeah. It was just the normal downtown high school. So, but it wasn't it wasn't a jock high school or anything. But it was still, you know, it wasn't that fun. It's tough. It's tough.
High school can be hard.
It seems like it can only be hard in my thinking. My other problem was that I was 6'4", and I couldn't play basketball to save my life. So
uh-huh.
That was also horrifying.
So everybody's like, you play basketball?
Yeah, everyone's like, you come out for basketball? I'm like, yeah, no.
Why couldn't you play? You just didn't have the aptitude?
I'm coordinated like, I don't know. I can't do it. I remember I was dared into trying to slam dunk once, and I actually dunked it, but I landed, like, pretty much on my side.
Uh-huh.
So.
But you actually did dunk it.
I did dunk it. So I kind of got the cheers, but I also got the jeers of not, you know.
So you had cheers.
But then
for 7/10 of a second.
Yes.
You were the king of the world then.
I pretty much looked like I broke my arm, so I was not, you know. My kingship was over.
Short-lived. All right, Paycheck, this is good stuff.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see everyone else's stories. I want to hear some.
We're going to get to it now.
Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye. Paycheck kicking off his segment, 201-209-9368. What's that? How do I rate mine? 9.8. My main problem in high school was just being too popular. Just having to kind of associate with all these nerds and dweebs who wanted a piece of the king. That was kind of my problem in high school. Come on, nerds, give me a break. There's only so much of the kid to go around. No one's making the cut here. This is just crazy. This is a white hot segment. And the only people calling are crackpots. They're not making it past Mike. Come on, let's get the show rolling. Yes, I give amnesty for double calls. Can't be this one can't tank. This is a good one. Might be a tanker. I know it's not a tanker. How about you, Mike? What do you give your high school experience? A 7? Where did you fit in? You were in the middle area of the school. Yeah, just the middle of the pack. Another flurry of calls as Mike screens, making sure that the wackos don't get through. FMU, you're on the air. Who's this?
Peter.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I know, I'm pretty good.
How do you rate your high school experience 1 through 10?
Wait, what? I would say 10, Tommy.
You'd give it a 10?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is your love of wedgies?
No, because that was, like, so popular this year.
Uh-huh.
And, yes. Like, I had 17 GS every night and stuff. It was awesome.
Uh-huh. What would you
I had a new date every day.
What would you really give it?
10.
Come on, be honest.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. And then, like, I was in honors, too, but I wasn't a geek. I was just, like, in honors.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you copy from just the smart kids, like, that you pretend to be their friends and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Sounds great. Sounds
but
like an exciting...
But also, I'm, like, the star of the football teams.
You're on the football team.
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Quarterback. Quarterback, the only position I've ever heard of.
Linebackers.
You play linebacker.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, usually I play every position because, like, I'm too good at it.
Oh, boy.
Or something.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know.
Now, is this the kind of thing that you, after the principal comes into the boys' room and unhooks you from the coat hook that you're hanging from by your underwear and the blood rushes back through your body again? Was that the kind of stuff you imagine as you passed out from getting an atomic wedgie?
I need to understand, though.
Get off my phone! The show doesn't tolerate liars and fibbers. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Doug calling.
Hey, Doug. How would you rate your high school experience?
I'd give it a 5.
A 5?
It started off well and ended poorly.
How did it start off well?
Well, I got into a really expensive prep school, 6 days a week, coat and tie.
It's like a rich kid.
Yeah, rich kid.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended up getting kicked out.
You got kicked out of the prep school.
I got kicked out.
Why'd you get kicked out of the prep school?
A bunch of friends and I threw grapefruits at some guy's house, and he happened to be a donor for the school.
Oh, boy. So it was like a Rushmore thing.
Exactly.
You had to go to the public school then, and did everybody mock you at the public school?
No, I got kicked out 2 weeks before graduation, and it was too late to go to any other public school, so I just got my GED.
Wow.
I was already into college, so it was cool. But it was a big embarrassment for my family, so that's why I give it a 5 out of 10.
All right.
Sorry to bring the show down.
No, you're not. You're bringing the show up. Oh, get back to work.
All right, bye.
Bye. I know that guy. I work with that guy at the Consolidated Cardboard plant. FMU, you're on the air.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Who's this?
Kaz.
Kaz, where are you calling from?
Right now, Montclair. Just moved out of Jersey City.
07042.
You got it. No, 07043, 042.
Now, Kaz, are you the Kaz?
One of four.
Are you the important one?
As far as I know.
The one who draws?
Exactly.
Ooh, this is exciting. So rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10, Kaz, the illustrator.
6.7.
6.7. Where do you, what makes you arrive at that number?
Started out great. Had a lot of fun. And then quickly went downhill, I would say, by 10th grade.
Okay.
Too mundane, I think.
All right. You were already...
Drugs started kicking in, the alcohol, and...
You were ready.
It never made sense. So.
You were just beyond high school, kind of at that.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah, it was a small school. Hometown was very small.
All right.
And more cows than were people, so it's time to get out.
6.7.
6.7.
Great. Thank you, Kaz.
Thank you.
You have a good night. 201-209-9368. Rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Who's this?
It's Tristan.
How you doing, Tristan?
I'm doing all right. In terms of high school,
yes.
I would probably give my high school experience 7.5, possibly an 8.
So you had a good time.
Yeah, you know, the first maybe year and a half was a little awkward. I hadn't really... finished going through that special time in a boy's life, so I was kind of a little short and chubby and just kind of a nerd. And then I grew up, and I'm still a nerd, obviously. Some things you can't change, but, you know, I think that I'm a personable enough guy that I got along with everybody, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say that I was popular, because I didn't have a lot of friends. I had a very poor group of friends, but, you know, I got along with people, and I talked with people, and, you know, it was
an okay time.
It was an okay time. I mean, like, there were definitely things that were kind of weird and had to be worked out. But, you know, you work them out, and then you go push on. And if I hadn't gone to high school, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I really like where I am now.
How about now? Where do you give your life now?
Right now?
Yes.
Considering the things I've gone through and just kind of some personal realizations, I say that from here on out, I don't see any time going below 8.
I love it.
Even if I tank out, I'm still going to be happy.
There you go.
I like where I am.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tristan. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye. 201-209-9368. Rate your high school experience scale of 1 to 10. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Mark calling in from Portland.
Hey, Mark. Portland, Oregon or Maine?
Oregon.
So you're in the Portland that has, like, the street filth.
Yeah, that's right down the road.
Like the those punks.
Mm-hmm. Asking for money.
Exactly.
Or hippies. Mm-hmm.
So what would you give, Mark, your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I'm kind of surprised at how high everybody is. Mine was a 3.
A 3.
Mm-hmm.
And what brought that 3 on?
Well, it was okay enough at the time, but in retrospect, all I really learned how to do was be cynical and smoke pot and drink, and it kind of stunted my emotional development, I would say. So it was kind of anonymous and boring at the time, but it wasn't really quality living.
All right. Were you at that point looking forward to college?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you knew you could be more the person you wanted to be in college.
Yeah, it was a Catholic school, and it was kind of all football all the time, and that wasn't me.
Sure. So you were kind of stuck there, seeing a lot of people who you did not have a whole lot in common with.
Yeah.
Were there a couple like-minded people at least?
Yeah, actually, there were two. I had like just a group of 3, and you know, there was a lot of horror movies and Twisted Sister and just Dropping Out, and it was okay at the time, but there were better things ahead.
All right, well, that's fine. The 3, but now you're happier, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you give your life now?
So I'd say 8. I'm kind of with the last caller. That, yeah, 8 and trucking.
I love it. You keep going, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Bye. 201-209-9368. We got 2 lines open now for you to rate your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10. Some people loved high school. Some people hated high school. Where did you stand? FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Eric.
Hey, Eric. Where are you calling from?
From New Paltz, New York.
How are things up in New Paltz?
It's a pretty nice night. It's been really rainy, and I worked today, early this morning, but, yeah. Oh, no, I'm just in my painting studio chilling out now.
Now, how would you rate your high school experience?
You know, it was pretty good. Like, I'd say probably an 8, compared to other people, probably an
8.5. 8.5, really? Now, what led to that 8.5?
Well, I must say that I was from a small school. Like, my graduating class is about 85 people.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of, like, the people that I made friends with were, you know, I made some of my best friends in the first grade, and we were best friends all the way up through. So, I mean, I think I was kind of right on the outside edge of the popular crowd, I guess.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And I just got involved in sports and stuff. And even though, you know, I was kind of an art kid, I got involved in that, so I got a pretty close-knit group of friends, and it was kind of like, you know, we all bounced off each other, like, and kind of shaped my kind of sense of humor, I guess. And, you know, I was you know, I graduated with a pretty good average, but I wasn't a nerd. I wasn't like, you know, I got to talk to different crowds of people because I wasn't, you know, into a total clique, really. Kind of like a valence electron, if you will.
Kind of like a what?
An electron, a free electron.
What's that mean?
Well, depending on, you know, what you're attracted to, you're allowed to break from your material and go to, you know, something more attractive. Kind of free to roam, I guess, through different crowds of people.
Sounds like smart person talk. Thank you very much. Bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Oh.
Yes, hi.
John.
John, how are you doing?
I am fine.
Where are you calling from, buddy?
Otisville, New York.
Where is Otisville?
Otisville is in the town of Mount Hope. Mount Hope.
That's right.
So I'm right there. I'm right at the towers, believe it or not.
Is that where you're listening?
Yeah. I'm actually in my car driving to there right at this point, but for all intents and purposes, yes.
All right, buddy. All right. How would you rate your high school experience?
I'd give it a 6. One of those things started off kind of weird because I was really, really little, really tiny, really tiny. So obviously I got picked up and thrown around quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
But then found some punk rock buddies, and we all, you know, turned each other on to punk rock and Lou Reed and Velvet Underground and Jack Kerouac and all that kind of stuff. And everything was pretty cool until senior year, until I got grounded for my entire senior year.
You were grounded for your entire senior year?
Yes.
How'd that come about?
Well, my parents were kind of strict, and they wouldn't let me go see rock concerts because of all the drugs, of course.
Yeah.
And I missed some really amazing shows, like the first time The Clash came over, and you know, the famous Cramp shows, Halloween, The Palladium, all that kind of stuff. So I finally got totally like irritated at missing those shows. So Elvis Costello was doing his Armed Forces tour, and I basically left home to go see that show.
Was it worth it? Yes.
It was totally worth it, absolutely.
Especially, I'm not going to tell kids to go do bad stuff.
What?
Never mind.
No, it was totally cool because, like, I mean, yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I told my parents I was going to the dance, and then I just went to go see Elvis Costello on his Armed Forces tour. It was a totally amazing show. And the next day was, people of a certain age will remember this, but they used to have these rock and roll flea markets at the Diplomat Hotel called the Rock Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really amazing, amazing time where, you know, it was kind of like that from your record fair, actually. But, you know, it was, 1978, and, like, you know, Joey Ramone would be there and just hanging out and buying records and stuff. It was just totally cool for, how old was I, 17 or something. That was really, really amazing. And then I came home, like, 2 days later. My parents were extremely not pleased that I had just vanished for 2 days.
Yes.
And I was grounded for senior year. So all of senior year just completely sucked.
Wow. You got past it, though. You enjoyed the Elvis Costello rock concert, and here you are now a better person.
Absolutely. Because I stood up to something and did okay.
Thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
201-209-9360. We get a couple more high school experience calls on here. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Dave from Lodi, New Jersey.
How are you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm doing pretty well. I've heard your show. Everybody's talking about high school. It made me think about it.
Uh-huh.
So when I was in high school, it was pretty good, you know. 10th grade came a turning point. Started eating dirt for money.
You started eating dirt for money?
Yeah, so everyone in my high school, I was called Dirt Boy. Everyone called me Dirt Boy, and I'd eat dirt for $1 for everyone.
Now, how long ago was this?
A few years ago. I still eat dirt frequently. It's my trademark.
Wow.
Yeah, I get money and stuff, but it's fun.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so that was my turning point in high school. And then, everyone would always be like, yeah, Dave, Dirt Boy, you know?
Now, who's paying you to eat dirt now?
Who's paying me to eat dirt now? Nobody. That's why I don't really do it anymore. But, you know, whenever I come across some people who have some money, you know, if they know me, they'll give me money to eat some dirt. It was a good time. Sometimes it's stand by the Snapple machine and panhandle money.
Mm-hmm. Now, what high school did you go to?
Lodi High School, and it was the worst high school possible.
But you seemed like you had an okay time.
Oh, yeah, I definitely had an okay time. It was, I didn't learn anything, though. They didn't care if I learned anything, either.
What are you doing now with your life?
Nothing, really. I'm going to some really bad community college, and I'm not really majoring in anything. And I'm working at A&P pushing carts.
Uh-huh. Are you having an okay time?
I'm having an okay time, I guess, yeah.
Kind of miss those glory days of high school?
Yeah, I miss the glory days of, you
the
know.
Glory. I'm really getting depressed now. I can't even say get off my phone. I just had to bail on that call. Oh, boy. Dirt boy. I'm hoping that was a joke. Talking about the good old days. Now he's pushing shopping carts in an A&P parking lot. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
At my friend's urging, they told me to call. So
yes.
I'm calling.
What is your name?
Michelle. I called before.
Okay, Michelle. What was your high school experience on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I don't know. I guess it was like a 5.
Okay. Now, why would it be a 5?
Well, I was like perpetually angry. I was like an angry youth, and I wore lots of black and felt angsty. I don't know. It wasn't that bad. I mean, I wasn't like ridiculed daily, I guess, like some people are. But I don't know.
But you got by.
Yeah, I got by. And I got out.
Have you let go of some of that anger?
Yeah. I'm not as angry.
Good.
Thank you.
What are you doing now?
I'm in the kitchen talking.
Of course. Of course. No, I didn't mean this second, because this second you're on the radio.
Oh, well, like, I thought it was just, like, relate my one memorable memory. Or no.
Whatever. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
You have a good night. Bye. This is why we have the closing theme. Because the show can't end with memories of Dirt Boy eating dirt for money. For a dollar. Not even money. Not even like, I'll give you $50 to eat that dirt. No, it's more like, oh, I got a dollar. How about that? Yeah, okay. Oh, Dirt Boy. It's called dignity. Find some. In the home stretch of the best show here, only a couple minutes left. I should let you all know that next week I might have a very exciting announcement. I'm not fooling around. Something that would fall under the realm of the good guys win and the bad guys die. Fighting for justice. We'll see. I need to do a little bit of research to see if it's doable. But I could make a very exciting announcement on next week's program. You can sign up for the podcast. You go over to friendsoftom.com. Sign up over there. Need people to get your friends to sign up for the podcast also, because we are on the ropes podcast-wise. We are getting ready to pull the plug if we don't get more subscriptions. We will be back next Tuesday from 8 to 11. This has been the best show on WFMU on East Orange. This has been the best show on WFMU on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org, reminding you that good guys win and bad guys die.
Radios of battlefields in the fight for the good fight. Tuesday night, and the enemy turns the FMs out to the right or the satellite.